Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. So today, before we get into the question, let me remind you, the last two episodes we talked about the Spurgeon Study Bible giveaway. So we're giving away a free Spurgeon Study Bible to the person who submits the most compelling question to be answered on the podcast. And again, that compelling is that question that people say, that's a good question. I wish that was my question so I'd win the study Bible. So
right.
It makes sense that the more questions you submit, the more likely you are to win. So you can submit those questions via Twitter, Facebook, our website, or email questions@truthandcircumstances.com.
If I was eligible, I would be submitting all kinds of questions for that thing. But I'm not eligible, so I just bought my own.
Yeah. Well, if your question is chosen, we'll contact you for mailing information and we'll send it right to you. The last day to submit a question is November 30th. That's November 30th. So we'll announce a winner the first week of December. So today's question, will God bless my marriage even though I've cheated on my spouse?
Yes. This is an issue that people typically want to hide in church because they assume no one else in the church has done this. No one else has cheated on their spouse. Ours is the only marriage that has been rocked by infidelity. But if statistics are correct, there are numerous people in every church who have committed adultery. Hmm. So if you have thought that our marriage is the only one that has been touched by infidelity, you're most likely wrong.
Sure. It's
possible that if you're at Providence and you have this question, you're among a group of others who are wondering the same thing. So the answer to this question, though, depends upon a number of things.
Right. So one thing it depends on is if you are hiding the sin from your spouse.
Right. The way that this question was asked doesn't give us enough detail to know whether or not this is out in the open. So it depends on if you're hiding the sin from your spouse. You can't expect the Lord to bless your marriage if you're hiding the sin. You must confess this to your spouse. And I'd say that because you have violated the marriage covenant. There's an offense between the two of you, even if your spouse doesn't yet know it. Sin causes a breach in relationships. There's a breach between you and your spouse and between you and the Lord as long as this remains in the dark. David talks about his own concealed sin in Psalm 32. He writes, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." So I think we can learn from David's example that when we hide sin, God is going to put pressure upon us. And it may be that if you're feeling anguish over this, and you have not confessed this to your spouse, it may be that the anguish you're feeling is the Lord pressing upon you.
Hmm. Praise God that He does that.
Absolutely. It's a kindness of God to not allow us to feel okay in our sin. So that sin, if it's unconfessed, it's affecting you in ways you don't even recognize. And there in Psalm 32, we can identify ways that it's affecting you. It's affecting him physically. It's affecting him mentally, affecting him spiritually. Basically, all of his person is being affected by this. It's affecting your marriage in ways that you don't recognize. And we can find scriptures like Matthew 5, 23 through 26, and 1 Peter 3, 7, which indicate that sin between you and another person will affect your relationship with the Lord. In Matthew 5, 23 through 26, it says, "Don't bring your offering to the Lord when you know that there's something between you and another person." Hmm. 1 Peter 3, 7 says that if you have sinned against your, I'm paraphrasing here, if you've sinned against your wife, it's going to affect your prayers with the Lord. So you shouldn't expect unfettered fellowship with God while there's a known broken relationship in your life, especially your marriage. There's another reason to confess. Unconfessed sin retains its power over you. Hmm. The Lord Jesus says in John 3, this is in his conversation with Nicodemus. He says in verses 20 and 21, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. As long as you fear exposure more than you fear the power of sin, that sin will reign over you. And I think if you talk to anybody who has been engaged in habitual sin, who has then confessed it, they will tell you the moment they confess that, the chains fall off in a sense. Mm, I mean, they may continue to struggle with it somewhat, but it does not have the power over them that it did when they were keeping it quiet.
Right. So what would you say to the person who says, the reason I haven't confessed is that I don't want to hurt them?
Okay. And I could understand that. You know, you don't want to hurt your spouse by confessing to them, because you know that the anguish that it's going to cause. I would just say, you've already hurt them. The damage is done, and that damage cannot be fixed unless you confess.
Right.
You're hurting your marriage further every day that you wait to confess.
Right. So in terms of the Lord blessing your marriage, another thing it depends on is if you have repented.
Yeah. So it's possible that we could have a situation where your spouse knows about the adultery, but you haven't really repented. And so just like you can't expect God to bless you if you haven't confessed, you also can't expect God to bless your marriage when you have not repented. And the reason is that when there's unrepentant sin, there still is a breach in both relationships. So there's a breach between you and your spouse and between you and the Lord. So a good question for us all to consider is, when does God forgive people? When does he forgive? He forgives when we confess and repent. So when the Jews in Acts 2 asked Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This is after Peter's great Pentecost Day sermon. The Jews said, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, what should we do to be forgiven of our sins? Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Likewise, one chapter later in Acts 3:19, Peter says, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. So God forgives when we repent. God does not forgive just as a blanket thing, all humanity, based upon the fact that Jesus has just died for sins. Jesus died for sins, so God forgives everybody. That's not the way it works. God forgives the repentant. So if God forgives that way, we should then ask, okay, when are we to forgive? We are to forgive also when there has been confession and repentance. Ephesians 4:32 calls us to model our forgiveness on the Lord's forgiveness. So we shouldn't be surprised then to find Jesus saying in Luke 17:3, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So your spouse cannot offer biblical forgiveness until you've repented. Now, we won't go into this now, but I've taught many times here at Providence that there's a difference between forgiveness or forgiving someone and dealing with the bitterness of an offense. Those are two different things. So we're not saying that a person can't get rid of their bitterness, anger, and pain until the offender has repented. That's not what we're saying. Forgiveness is an act that is separate from dealing with all of your bitterness, anger, and pain that results from somebody hurting you. Perhaps we should do a refresher on that issue. Maybe we'll do that on the podcast, kind of a thing on what is forgiveness. But repentance is necessary, okay? And 2 Corinthians 7 gives us a picture of what repentance looks like. So Paul is writing to a group of folks who had sinned against him in 2 Corinthians 7, and he commends them for their repentance. He writes there, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you've proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So true repentance is associated with grief over sin itself and a zeal to be rid of it, to be completely clean. It's not attached to what we could call a worldly grief, which grieves merely over the consequences of sin. Godly grief hates the sin itself, wants to be completely rid of it. So there must be repentance if God is going to bring something beautiful out of something dark. Otherwise, he's only going to bring chastening upon you, okay? And he'll do that because he's a loving father. That's Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 11.
Amen. So again, in terms of whether the Lord will bless your marriage if you've committed that sin, it depends on what you mean by bless.
Yeah, but what do you mean by bless? If by bless you mean that everything goes back immediately to the way it was before the adultery without a lot of pain and hard work, then I seriously doubt it. Sin causes messes, and adultery, it seems, causes the biggest messes of all. There will be great pain. It may be the most difficult trial of your life. And you may be in a place right now where you've already confessed and repented, and you're in a long season of pain already. Here's the great news. If by bless you mean create something wonderful out of something terrible, the answer is absolutely God can bless your marriage. Because God is in that very business. Isn't that
Amen.
Fantastic?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, sitting on the throne in Revelation 21:5, says, I am making all things new. I mean, that gives me chills just thinking about it. God takes messes and he makes things wonderful out of them. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that in Christ, God makes new creations. And listen to this one. This is my favorite. So it gives this one gives bad news first and then glorious news. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And it speaks specifically to this issue. Paul writes, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's terrible news, okay? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And we might think, oh, this is horrible. That's exactly what we don't want to hear. But Paul continues in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So according to the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures, God can cleanse you from your sin and make your marriage better than it has ever been. This is what God does. This is his wheelhouse. He takes broken things and he shows himself strong by fixing them. Now, it will take work. It will likely take counseling. Your spouse will have to be willing to forgive and by God's grace, work hard as well. But if those ingredients are present, something beautiful can happen and your marriage can be an inspiration to others. And I've seen this many times. I'm aware of numerous marriages that have been almost destroyed by infidelity, but then blessed in the sense of a joyful, meaningful, loving, godly relationship. Mm. I've seen marriages that God blessed in such a way that they were better following the healing than they were before the adultery. But every one of those marriages were marriages in which there was full confession, repentance, forgiveness, and a commitment to see it through in the long haul. I've never known of a situation in which a marriage was blessed where there was a spouse hiding a past infidelity or not truly repentant or halfway committed to making it work. So all of those things that we talked about it, whether or not the Lord is going to bless it, it depends upon these things. I have seen those things borne out in numerous cases. In every case where I've seen the Lord bless a marriage, it has been those situations where there was confession, repentance, and forgiveness and commitment to see it through.
Wow, we serve a great God if he can
Absolutely.
Take that and,
yes.
and make good come of it.
And think about the fact, Kyle, that we have all committed spiritual adultery against God, and he redeemed us. I mean, Amen. That's the heart of this God. I mean, he has been betrayed in that way by us and has forgiven us. I mean, would it not delight him to see us through that in a marriage relationship?
Right.
I mean, he delights to do that.
Right. The gospel bears on every situation.
Yeah. Amen. It does.
Praise
Absolutely.
God. Well, until next time, Greg.
Okay. See you.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.